News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
SIPTU representatives want the creation of a dedicated transport policing force, and workers are claiming now more than ever that they actually need and they're requiring this level of protection because of the growing levels of antisocial behaviour on our transport network. So joining us to discuss is John Murphy, who is the sector organiser for the SIPTU transport sector. John, a very good morning.
Good morning, Andrea.
Now, this isn't the first time we've heard these calls. What exactly is it that you're looking for, John?
Well, no, it wouldn't be the first time. To varying degrees over probably 2 to 3 decades now, SIPTU has been calling for the establishment of a dedicated transport police force. And it is, as you said in your open piece there, to do with the increasing levels of antisocial behaviour, but also in the increasing integration of the transport network and the different modes of transport throughout Ireland. We see now as probably the best opportunity to join up all the dots, if that's the right phrase, and provide proper security and safety by way of a transport police service.
Just give us a sort of a brief indication, John, as to the level of kind of issues or complaints that your members are dealing with on a daily basis.
Well, I don't know whether you're aware, recently there we had our members on the DART service who had refused or were intending to refuse to operate their services beyond Conwy Station from 7 p.m. And this was due to the various antisocial behaviour threats. We even had reports there in the media recently of disturbances between groups of youths where guns were even produced. And like, this is unacceptable.
But presumably the guards were called in a case like that.
Yeah, but our view is, if you have a dedicated transport police, not only are they on the line to deal with this, but they also act as a major deterrent from antisocial behaviour and assaults and threats of assault to this degree from actually occurring in the first place. The Gardaí, as we all know, their resources are stretched, and they have to police the whole country. But if you have a dedicated transport police, at least it is dedicated to the areas where, known antisocial behaviour does occur. Because there is areas throughout the city, on both the rail, the light rail, the Lewis, the Dart services, where at certain times of day there is known antisocial behaviour and congregation of people.
Okay.
So at least with the transport police, they can identify these areas and aim the resources at these areas to prevent and deter this.
Now, I have to say as well, Éireann Ó Éireann, in these cases there that you mentioned, have just recently announced as well that they were increasing the security staff presence in some of their areas. Just in terms of this dedicated transport police unit that you're talking about, you mentioned the word resources yourself. Are you talking about a divisional section of an Garda Síochána, of the guards being sidelined, like members of traffic corps being redirected over to staff this, or are you talking about increasing numbers? Because that's something that the Garda Force themselves would be looking for as it currently stands.
We do believe it would necessitate an increase in number, and it would be similar to the British model, where the British Transport Police, which is under the remit of the National Policing Service. It would need an increase in staff, and staff dedicated to the transport element of policing. Like, if you look at it, the two companies that operate the rail infrastructure at the moment, Éireann Ó Éireann and Transdev with the Lewis, they are obliged under their contracts with the National Transport Authority to provide security and to, police through private police.
And they do provide private security.
So, the state is funding us there. So, we believe that it would be better directed into having an integrated policing service, which would be, which could work across both forms of rail networks, which is answerable to one area, which is, it's integrated. It's not two different levels of policing.
Yeah. You're obviously not going to be able to have a member of this transport police, or effectively a transport guard, on every single train station, or at every single train station, on every single train line, etc. So give us an indication, how many members are you talking about, do you think, you'd need for this force?
If you look at the model in Scotland, where the train the rail network is approximately twice the size of Ireland and approximately twice the passenger usage and kilometres travelled in Ireland. That has a dedicated transport police of in excess between 200 and 300 personnel. Now, they wouldn't be all on the line at the same time. You know, there's the rosters, the shifts, there's control centres, there's various background staff. But they would have over 200 dedicated officers whose job it is to police purely the transport system.
Can I ask you, John, though, can you actually see an Garda Síochána dedicating 200 members out of their force to man and to staff a dedicated transport police force? Like, could you see 200?
Not presently. But that's why we're calling, like, the Railway Safety Advisory Council's meet today. CIP2 is submitting to them to look for their support. These are stakeholders in the railway industry. If we can get their support today, we would then be looking towards the Department of Justice, Department of Transport, the Garda Síochána themselves, the operators, and the National Transport Authority to see if, you know, we can all sit down, seriously address this, because it is for the safety and security of the passengers ultimately. You know, there's a public service that needs to be provided. The state is obliged to provide that service, but that should be safe and secure, and people should have trust and confidence that they can utilise the service without facing antisocial behaviour and possible assaults or threats to assault. So this is, you know, while it's been on the boil for a number of years, we see, you know, this is the opportunity. And today we're going to use it to push for the support from there and then take it forward wider and further afield to seek further support.
Who's going to pay for this, John?
Well, ultimately, as I said earlier, the present security is funded by the state through the contracts. Again, the UK model, it's 75% of the British Transport Police is funded by the rail operators. The other 25% is through public finances. And again, you know, if we have seen and we welcome the recent integration of public transport and investment in it, but this is also an element of public transport that needs to be invested in and needs, you know, needs the state to stand up to the mark.
Can I just ask, John, at the moment we have, as you mentioned, obviously security staff on some of the various different providers, and my understanding is that they, you know, they have stab vests and, you know, they're wearing the kind of the black jumpsuits and they have the retractable
body
battens, yeah, as well. So are they in a position to use those battens as it currently stands? Just to clarify that.
Are they in their position to use which?
The retractable battens that they have. Am I right in saying we have a text in here from a listener who says that some of the security staff are manned with stab vests and they have retractable batons? I'm just wondering.
And I'm sure if they're faced with assault or assault on passengers, they could use reasonable force. Now, I would be far from an expert on the law in regards to private security, and that's another reason why, you know, if there was dedicated transport police, their knowledge and expertise, in dealing with, violence and violent behaviour, is going to far outstrip even the best of private security firms. You know, these people are going to be trained.
Well, I suppose the big thing is similar to the UK system is that they'd have the powers of arrest and detention.
Yeah,
and that's ultimately the issue. Can I just ask you, just very, very finally, John, in the UK, they also in the transport network have an anonymous number that you could text or ring if you do notice anything on a train or on, you know, any of the bus providers, bus services. If you notice any kind of behaviour that is untoward or that you feel you need to report, and it's an anonymous number, even as a first off starting point, is that something you'd be looking for?
Yeah, and that was recently introduced on the Lewis system as well, where antisocial behaviour, potential antisocial behaviour, there was a text number advertised. And we welcome that, you know. But again, you know, the state has to take some of the responsibility. It shouldn't be left to people on the ground floor to be the eyes and ears of the security of themselves and the fellow passengers. You know, there needs to be, and we need to be sitting down and discussing this seriously and making sure that the public services that we provide are safe and that people have confidence in utilising them.
We'll leave it there for the moment. My thanks to the CIP2 Transport Sector Organiser, John Murphy, for joining us on the programme. Do let us know, what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel that we need, do you want a dedicated public transport force to be on each of the different public service providers across the country? Do let us know your views on that. And also, if you're a member of the Guards or a member of the Traffic Corps, do you feel that something like this might work? So do let us know. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents.